Hey, good to have you here for this episode. Today, we're diving into something pretty intricate, but crucial in design patent practice, the world of design patent reissue applications.
Yeah, it's a topic that's often misunderstood or overlooked, but it's really important for anyone dealing with design patents. So let's start with the basics. What exactly is a design patent reissue application?
Well, at its core, a design patent reissue is a statutory corrective procedure. It's governed by 35 U.S.C. Section 251, and it allows a patentee to fix errors in an issued design patent that render it wholly or partly inoperative or invalid.
Right, and it's important to stress that reissue isn't a tool for redesigning or strategically changing your patent. It's strictly corrective and jurisdictional.
Exactly. And design patents are unique because the claim is inseparable from the drawings. So most errors that lead to reissue requests come from the drawings themselves, figure descriptions, or from claiming more or less than the patentee was entitled to.
And even subtle visual changes can have a big impact. Changing a line from solid to broken, or tweaking shading, can broaden or narrow the scope of the design. So reissue practice in design patents is particularly sensitive.
That sensitivity really centers on the reissue declaration. It's the legal foundation of the entire application. Without a compliant declaration, the application simply can't proceed.
Let's talk about that declaration then. What makes it so critical?
The declaration must specifically identify at least one correctable error that existed at the time the patent issued. Vague statements like, quote, "the patent issued with errors" or "incorrect drawings were submitted" just won't cut it.
Yeah, the declaration needs to explain what was wrongly claimed or depicted, why it was erroneous, and how the reissue corrects it. And it has to correspond exactly to the proposed amendments. So best practice is to draft the declaration after finalizing all amendments.
Also, if the declaration is signed by an assignee rather than the inventor, the assignee must own the entire interest, including any shares of added inventors. Otherwise, the declaration is defective.
That's a common pitfall. And speaking of defects, there are several typical declaration problems. Missing required statutory affirmations, especially in pre-AIA applications, referencing attachments that don't exist, using non-standard duty to disclose language, or failing to update the declaration when prosecution changes make the original error inapplicable.
And here's a key point. Defective declarations can't be fixed by just supplementing or bracketing the original. You need to file a completely new declaration.
So the declaration really controls the entire application. No declaration, no reissue, no matter how good your amendments are.
Exactly. Now, moving on, the statute limits the types of correctable errors to three categories: defective specification, defective drawing, or claiming more or less than the patentee had the right to claim.
In design patents, common drawing errors include inconsistent use of solid and broken lines, inaccurate surface shading, omission or addition of boundary lines, or inconsistent depiction of features across figures.
Specification errors can be more formal, like punctuation inconsistencies, or more substantive, like inaccurate broken line feature statements, mislabeling view types, or missing transitional descriptions in GUI designs.
And then there's the issue of claiming more or less than entitled, which often involves overclaiming features in solid lines, or failing to claim a patentably distinct segregable embodiment that was disclosed in the original drawings.
Importantly, no new matter can be introduced. So you can't add new visual features, new embodiments, or new specification content that wasn't in the original patent.
For example, adding a boundary line that defines a new demarcation not present in the original drawings is considered new matter and is not allowed.
Now, let's talk about broadening reissue, which is a big deal. Broadening means enlarging the scope of the original patent claim.
And there's a strict 2-year deadline to file a broadening reissue, counted from the original patent grant date. This deadline is jurisdictional, so it can't be extended.
Broadening can include converting solid lines to broken lines, removing shading, deleting boundary lines, or changing the article designation.
After 2 years, only non-broadening corrections are permitted.
But even if you file within 2 years, you have to watch out for the recapture doctrine.
Right, the recapture doctrine prevents a patentee from reclaiming subject matter that was deliberately surrendered during original prosecution to get the patent allowed.
The analysis is a 3-step process. First, Identify if the reissue claim is broader than the original. Second, determine if the broadening relates to surrendered subject matter. Third, evaluate if the reissue claim is materially narrowed in other respects related to the surrendered subject matter.
And importantly, narrowing in unrelated aspects won't save a broadening reissue from recapture.
To illustrate, imagine a handbag design where the front panel was narrowed during prosecution to overcome prior art by converting smooth areas to broken lines. If the reissue tries to broaden that front panel back to solid lines, that's barred by recapture.
But if the broadening targets a different feature, like the handle, which wasn't surrendered, recapture wouldn't apply.
Also, divisional reissues filed after the two-year window may still present broadened claims if the parent was timely filed and expressed intent to broaden.
That's a subtle but important point.
Now, on to procedural and filing requirements. A reissue application must include several components. A transmittal identifying it as a reissue and the patent being reissued. An application data sheet matching inventorship and ownership. A power of attorney if representation differs. An assignee showing of ownership under 37 CFR section 3.73 if the declaration is signed by an assignee. The reissue oath or declaration. A preliminary amendment with all proposed corrections relative to the patent as issued. And replacement drawing sheets if drawings are amended.
All specification and claim changes must be marked properly. Single brackets for deletions and underlining for additions, relative to the patent as issued.
Replacement drawing sheets must include all figures from the original sheet, labeled as amended, new, or canceled as appropriate.
And canceled drawing views must be reflected in the specification.
Broken line explanations must be accurate and included where required.
Internal consistency is critical. The title, claim, figure descriptions, drawings, declaration, ADS, and ownership statements must all align.
Failure to comply with these procedural requirements often leads to early objections and delays.
Speaking of multiple applications, divisional and continuation reissues have some important distinctions.
Divisional reissues arise from restriction requirements in reissue prosecution and are directed to non-elected embodiments. They must identify a distinct error not corrected in the parent.
And a new assignee consent is generally required for divisionals. A copy of the parent's consent usually isn't enough.
The declaration in the divisional must identify an error operative in that application.
Continuation reissues, on the other hand, are voluntary filings claiming benefit of an earlier reissue, not filed due to restriction.
Continuations may rely on the parent's declaration if the error is still operative. Otherwise, a new or supplemental declaration is needed.
And importantly, continuation in part reissues aren't allowed, because no new matter can be introduced.
Divisional reissues may present broadened claims after 2 years if the parent was timely filed and expressed intent to broaden.
Now let's talk about some common pitfalls and examiner rejections.
Defective declarations are the most frequent cause of rejection. Vague or conclusory error statements fail the specificity requirement.
Also, failure to update the declaration when prosecution changes render the original error moot is a big issue.
Incorrect marking conventions, like using double brackets instead of single, or filing clean copies of the specification, are common procedural defects.
Inconsistent amendments across title, claim, drawings, and figure descriptions also cause problems.
Assignees signing declarations without owning the entire interest, especially when adding inventors, is another trap.
Failure to include the entire original specification and drawings is a no-go.
And you can't amend the declaration by bracketing or supplementing. You have to file a new declaration.
Also, if you amend after the original declaration, you need to file a supplemental declaration covering the new errors before allowance.
Non-elected embodiments must be canceled after restriction. Just stating an election isn't enough.
Broken line explanations like illustrative purposes only are not acceptable.
And the declaration must identify specific features or areas. General statements won't pass muster.
There are plenty of prosecution examples illustrating these pitfalls and how they were fixed.
Moving on to strategic considerations, reissue creates a new prosecution history that can affect claim construction and enforcement.
Arguments made during reissue may create prosecution history estoppel or disclaimer.
Intervening rights under 35 U.S.C. Section 252 protect parties who acted in reliance on the original patent scope.
Absolute intervening rights apply to products made or used before the reissue grant.
Equitable intervening rights may protect ongoing manufacture if substantial preparation was made before reissue.
Broadening reissues increase the risk of intervening rights claims.
So, practitioners should evaluate enforcement impact and competitor products before filing broadening reissues.
And don't forget marking obligations. You have to update product markings to reflect the reissued patent number.
Even statements made during abandoned reissue prosecution may be used as extrinsic evidence in litigation, even if estoppel isn't formally applied.
Now, some special topics. GUI and animated design patents require particular attention.
GUI designs include sequential or transitional states, so the specification must describe the sequence explicitly.
Failure to describe the sequential transition is a correctable error supporting reissue.
Broken line elements depicting device housing must be accurately described.
Broadening issues arise if a solid line device housing is converted to broken lines. Broadening from GUI on a specific device to GUI on any device.
Correction of inventorship is another valid basis for reissue when correction under Section 256 isn't available.
But the assignee may sign the declaration only if owning the entire interest, including added inventors.
Objective evidence of assignment is required. A 3.73 statement alone isn't enough.
Divisional reissues adding new embodiments may face obviousness-type double patenting rejections.
Terminal disclaimers are available, but have enforceability consequences.
So practitioners should screen for double patenting by comparing designs under the ordinary observer test.
Certificates of correction versus reissue is another important distinction.
Certificates of correction are for minor clerical or typographical errors not affecting claim scope.
Reissue is required for errors affecting claim scope, including drawing changes.
The boundary is narrow in design patents because drawings define the claim.
Now, some recent changes and filing tips. The America Invents Act changed declaration requirements effective September 16, 2012.
Pre-AIA declarations required statements about original and first inventor, citizenship, and without deceptive intention. These are no longer required post-AIA.
So always use current post-AIA declaration forms, PTO/AIAA05 and PTO/AIAA06.
Expedited examination under 37 CFR Section 1.155 for design applications was suspended in April 2025 and eliminated in August 2025.
Remaining options to advance examination include petitions based on age or health and the accelerated examination program.
Track 1 prioritized examination isn't available for design applications.
And watch out for electronic filing pitfalls. Select the correct application type. Assign correct document categories, upload drawings as individual pages, verify fees and filing receipt.
Finally, international and portfolio considerations.
Reissue is a uniquely U.S. mechanism. There's no direct foreign equivalent.
Corrections via reissue may create scope discrepancies with foreign design registrations.
The 2-year broadening window runs from the U.S. patent grant date, not from foreign priority or international registration dates.
So practitioners should notify foreign counsel and coordinate portfolio management.
And reissue of U.S. patents issued from Hague registrations follows the same rules but doesn't affect the international registration.
To wrap up, design patent reissue is a powerful but strictly limited corrective tool.
The reissue declaration is the cornerstone. Specificity and internal consistency are paramount.
Broadening reissues have strict deadlines and must be carefully screened for recapture and intervening rights.
Procedural compliance with marking, drawing replacement, and ownership requirements is essential.
And strategic considerations include enforcement impact, prosecution history estoppel, and international portfolio alignment.
Recent regulatory changes and procedural updates affect declaration requirements and examination timing.
So approach design reissue with disciplined analysis and thorough preparation to avoid common pitfalls and maximize the benefit of correction.
That's a lot to digest, but hopefully it gives a clear roadmap for practitioners navigating design patent reissue.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining this deep dive. Until next time.